الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم. And welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I am your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. Please call your friends and let them know that the Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you along with paper and pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes during class. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. And those who are new listeners or new students to our class, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. Now, today's subject or topic we're going to talk about is, will we be ready for the test? And you say, well, what test are you talking about, Imam? What I'm talking about is that we are not just going to enter paradise. Allah is not just going to give us paradise because we say we believe in Allah or that we worship Allah. We are going to go through a series of tests throughout our lives. So what do I mean by that? Allah says in chapter 29, verse 3, again, that's chapter 29, verse 3, and he says, hopefully I'll give you a little bit of time to open up your Quran to chapter 29, verse 3. And of course, the English translation probably vary from translation to translation, because the original Quran is in Arabic, or the Quran itself in Arabic. People just do loose translation, a rough translation of what the Arabic says. And Allah says, we did test those who have gone before them. And Allah has to see, for the purpose of reward and punishment, who are the truthful and who are the liars. So he may say, for example, yes, I believe in Allah, I believe in God, I worship God, but are you really a worshiper of God, or are you just a liar? Because you worship and obey Allah, then you're going to do what Allah says. Yes, we're going to fall from time to time and fall on our face and slip, and then we go to Allah and ask for forgiveness, repent to Allah. But the thing is, only way Allah is going to know who's get punished and who's going to receive the reward is that you have to go a series of tests. It's like a test for anyone that has a degree or anyone has a particular skill set. Normally, you get some series of tests to see if you pass or if you fail. And of course, if you fail, we will get the punishment, because we say we believe, but we don't act like believers. Or you get the reward. We say that we believe and we do the acts of a believer, the person that truly believes. And that's in chapter 29, verse 3. And also Allah says, do people think that they will be left alone because they say we believe and will not be tested? And so we keep this in mind, my students, is that we won't be left alone. This world that we live in is a series of tests. We may live 60 years, 70 years, 100 years, or whatever Allah has written for us, but we are going to soon die. And then we're going to go to another world, another place where you will not die. Probably if you're in the hellfire, you wish that you were dead, but you will not die. But if you're in paradise, you're gonna just live in the goodness that you've earned in the paradise, because you have passed the various tests that Allah put before you. The Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing be upon him, he said, the people most severely tested are the prophets, then the righteous, then the next best, then the next best. A man will be tested in accordance with the degree of his religious commitment. The stronger his religious commitment, the stronger his test. So hopefully this explains to some of you why you're going through some of the things that you're going through. Why you're going through some of the struggles that you're going through. It's just a test from Allah. Now, what are you going to do? A lot of us, we get to the fork in the road. We could go down a bad fork, a side of the road, or we go to the good side. What are you going to do when you get to that fork in the road? You can go to the wrong side or you go to the right side. That's your decision to make, and then you have to face the consequences of your decision. If you make the right decision, then you get the rewards. If you make the wrong decision, and of course, you will get the punishment of what you've done. And also, it is said by one of the Prophet's companions, he said, the hellfire is surrounded with all kinds of desires and passions, while Jannah, meaning paradise, is surrounded with adversities. So what do I mean by that? Let me read this particular sort of story to you, if you will, or explanation of what was just said. It was narrated by the Prophet Muhammad that he said, when Allah created paradise and hell, he said to Jibril, or Angel Jibril, may peace be upon him, to paradise, and said, he said to him, to paradise, he said, look at it. Now he said this about paradise. He said, look at it and at what I have prepared for its people in it. He looked at it. Then he came back and said, by your glory, no one will hear of it, but he will enter it. So he commanded that it be surrounded by hardships and said, go and look at it and at what I have prepared for its people in it. He looked at it and saw that it was surrounded with hardships. He, meaning Jibril, said, by your glory, I fear that no one will enter it. He, Allah, said, go and look at the fire and at what I have prepared for its people in it. So he looked at it and parts of it were piled upon the other parts or upon other parts. He came back and said, by your glory, no one will enter it. So he commanded that it be surrounded with pleasures and said, go and look at it. So he looked at it and saw that it was surrounded with pleasures. He came back and said, by your glory, I fear that no one will be saved from it and will enter it, or will all will enter it. So we see from this that paradise, with all of its beauty, all of its niceties, all of the niceness that take place in paradise, are surrounded with trials, tribulations, adversities, difficulties. And so we face difficulties all the time. Hopefully we'll make the right decisions and the best decision and a God-fearing position, a decision or God-obedience decision pertaining to the adversity that we come in contact with. That way, inshallah, God willing, that we, because we held on and didn't go down the wrong path, that we will be the ones that will enter the paradise. But then on the other hand, we see all the pleasures, all the niceties, all the things that Allah told us not to be involved with, not to get involved in. We see that. These are the things surrounding the hellfire. And we do these things. And then the end result may be that we enter into the hellfire. And I explained to you some before about what happens in the hellfire and the burning in the hellfire and the punishment of the hellfire and being there with little to no relief in the hellfire. And so you see, when I mentioned before, the Prophet said the hellfire is surrounded with all kinds of desires and passions, while paradise is surrounded by adversities. So when you run into these adversities, don't run away from them or take the shortcut. Ask Allah to help you to make it through. Allah will be there to help you. Just ask. He said, you need help, ask me. Ask and ask of me. Allah is there and he's waiting to help us, waiting to answer our desires or the questions that we have and help that we need. We just have to take that step towards Allah. We take one step towards Allah, he takes two towards us. We come to Allah walking, Allah goes to us running. And so let's take advantage of, not taking advantage of Allah because we can't do that, but let Allah give us an opportunity to go down the right path. And so when we get to that fork in the road, we raise our hands and we ask Allah, oh Allah, please guide me. Please help me make the right decision regarding this situation, that I will go down the right path, the path that you are pleased with, not the one that is full of harm to me and to my soul and to my wealth or to my family. Oh Allah, please. And you beg your Lord, or beg our Lord for this. And ask Allah for what you want and what you need and what you desire. And perhaps He will guide you and have you go down the right path. And if you go down the wrong path, still you ask Allah, Ya Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, I made the bad decision. I made the wrong decision. I regret the decision that I made. I will not do it again. You repent to Allah, and Allah may forgive you for what you've done. Because when you repent, some of the criteria for repenting is that you immediately, or we immediately stop doing that particular sin. And that we feel some remorse or some sorrow for what we've done. And don't repeat what we've done. It's like a person that says, after they've been partying, that kind of thing, and they get the hangover, oh God, forgive me. Oh God, help me. If you help me through this hangover, I won't do it again. Oh yeah, right. You end up doing it again as soon as you're relieved from the pain that you're feeling from your present hangover. You end up a lot of times doing the same thing, taking the drugs or drinking the alcohol or whatever you had to do to get to the high that you were at before. And so be truthful and mean what you say and say what you mean. If you want true relief, you ask Allah to relieve you and to forgive you. And don't go back in that direction again. And ask Allah to help you, to guide you, to protect you from not going back down that same path again. No matter what wrong that I'm talking about that you may end up doing or that you have done to yourself or to someone else. Now, we want to also have a test for us to make sure that we have a heart that is free from malice. The Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, he said, shall I tell you about actions that are better than prayer, fasting, and zakat, meaning paying the sadaqah, charity? The people replied, surely. He, may peace and blessings be upon him, said, keep up good relations, mutual relations, because poor relationship can scalp you. I do not mean your hair, but your religion. If we have poor relationship with our Lord, within our religion, then it scalps us. It takes away something from us. This is a test. Because our tests are iman, our faith. It gets holes in it from time to time. Our faith, and when it gets holes in it, like worn out material or clothing, what we do, we sew it up. We patch it up. Same thing when you're talking about faith. Our iman, or our faith, is like a roller coaster. Sometimes our iman is up, we feel real strong in our faith, and then on the other side, the roller coaster goes down, and then we feel weak and vulnerable. And those are the times you ask Allah to help you in those times of weakness, so your faith and your religion won't be scalped and taken away from you. And also when you're up on top of the roller coaster, you thank Allah. Don't forget to thank Allah for what He's done for you. Thank Allah, oh Allah, thank you for all the beauty and the nice things you've done for me and you've given to me, and you made me happy today. Thank you so much, Allah, for the blessing you bestowed upon me. When was the last time you thanked Allah for anything that you have? When was the last time you thanked God for something that you have? Even the very life that you have in your body, the breath that you take. When was the last time that you've done something like that? Look, my students, this world we live in is a test. We are being tested in this world. So that, and we want to pass the exams of this world in order to be promoted to the next world. That's what this thing is all about. We want to have flying. We want to have stars and circles and all the good things that you get, check marks, all the good things, 100%, as much as we possible, get close to 100% as we can, to pass the test of this world. Yes, Allah sent various adversities to us, but Allah, I want that paradise. And so, yes, this adversity is in front of me, this hardship in front of me, but I'm going to do my best to do right by and get past this adversity. In the ma'usri yusra, for every difficulty there is relief. So we go to Allah and ask Allah to relieve us of whatever we're going through. Because, yes, it's heavy on your shoulder now. Some of you are listening to me right now, that in my class right now, you probably came and got out this morning with some heavy stuff, or this afternoon with some heavy stuff. Maybe tonight you have some heavy stuff on your shoulder that you're going to need an army of people to help you to carry it. But you don't need an army when you have Allah. You don't need an army of people to help you with whatever you have on your shoulders that you're carrying heavy in your heart or in your soul. You ask Allah for the help that you need. Allah is there. Allah isn't going anywhere 24/7. Allah is available. You go to sleep, Allah is awoke. He's there. You wake up, Allah is awoke. He's there. He's there for no matter where we go. Again, like I told you before, he can see a black ant sitting on a black rock on a black night. So he certainly know everything that we do or what we think or where we go. And so he's aware of what you're going through. We have to make the right decisions pertaining to adversity, whatever we're going through. And don't be afraid to ask Allah to help us. Ya Rabb, Ya Rabb, Ya Rabb, Ya Allah, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. And so we beg Allah for what we need and what we want and what we desire, and don't be afraid to do so. Also, I want to mention, get your Qur'ans ready. I want to mention in chapter 2, verse 263. That's chapter 2, verse 263. And it says, kind words and forgiving of faults is better than the charity followed by injury, and Allah is most forbearing. And so we see here, two things are going on here. Saying kind words to others and forgiving the faults of others. This is a test for us, that we say kind words to people and not always these wretched words coming out of our mouths. Are we just unforgiving? No, we don't forgive anyone. We want everyone to forgive us, but we don't want to forgive anyone. And we hold on to stuff for dear life, as if our life depended on us holding on to whatever it is that we're holding on to, where we should have let it go a long time ago. And it's doing nothing but destroying you and taking you down and taking you out of who you really are and taking pieces from you and weakening you. So some things you need to let go. You need to forgive. Now some things you may not forgive. I understand that. If someone cheated on you, I understand that. Yes, you probably can't forgive, but you won't forget. Okay? I understand that part. And that person did that. They made a mistake or whatever it was, and they it's done. Now the thing is, how much are you going to let that thing continue to impact you and to make you the way you are, which is not who you are? How long are you going to hold on to this thing? And so again, kind words and forgiveness of faults is better than charity followed by injury. And so keep this in mind, my respected students and listeners and those who are attending this class, is that kind words go a long way. And forgiving also goes a long way. Also, the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, he said, abusing a Muslim is a transgression, and fighting him is infidelity. And so we hear sometimes throughout the world that Muslims are killing each other and fighting each other, that kind of thing. This is wrong. This is not the Islamic way. Matter of fact, they talk about ISIS. And if you really look at this whole ISIS thing, only thing are the people that ISIS seem to attack are other Muslims. You rarely, if at all, and listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying, my students. Whenever they talk about ISIS on TV or the radio and who they attack, they're attacking other Muslims. I don't hear too much about them attacking people who are non-Muslims. And so it's a silly thing that for these people to say I'm Muslim and then they do nothing but attack Muslims or attack anyone at all, period. Because that's not the Islamic way. Now, anyone that fight against us, we fight them. I mean, I'm going to be straight up with you. That's what anyone that are my student. What are you going to do? Let someone beat you down or beat your children or rob you or something like that? No. That's not what we do. If you aggress me, then I have to defend myself. I defend myself as long as you're aggressing me. You stop aggressing me, then I stop have a need to defend myself. I'm just letting you know what Islam says about this particular thing, not what people are saying and the way they practice or culturally what they do. I also want to mention something else, and this is what we found in chapter 3, verse 133. To 134. Again, that's chapter 3, verse 133 to 134. Hopefully you'll be able to get to and turn to it. Again, I repeat, that's chapter 3, verse 133 to 134. And it says, "And march forth in the way which leads to forgiveness from your Lord and for the paradise whose width is the whole of the heavens and the earth. Prepare for the righteous, for those who spend freely, whether in poverty, in prosperity or in adversity, who restrains anger and pardon all men, for Allah loves all muhsinin," which is the doers of good. So we see from this, you want the paradise that is as wide as the heavens and earth. Allah prepares this place for the righteous, those who spend freely, if they have a lot of money or don't have a lot of money. These are the ones that spend freely. And also they restrain their anger, and also they pardon men. They are forgiving people. These are the ones, also the ones that do good. And so I encourage my Muslim brothers and sisters, and of course my students who are not Muslims, let's adhere to this. Let's pardon our fellow man. Let's be doers of good. Let's be the righteous. Let's be the ones that spend freely when we have money, or we don't have money, or we just have a few pennies. Let's share with others. Let's not be afraid to do so. Also, brotherhood is very, very important as far as when you talk about a test. In chapter 49, verse 10, that's chapter 49, verse 10, and it says, "The believers are brothers, so make conciliation between them and fear Allah that may receive mercy." Here, we see here that believers are brothers, and that we have reconciliation between us, that we care for each other, that we forgive each other, that we don't hold on and always want to fight each other and kill each other. I want what you have. I'm going to take it from you. This is a test, and we'll be questioned about that. And what is, we have an angel on the right shoulder and an angel on the left shoulder. Angel on the right shoulder writing down our good deeds. Angel on the left shoulder writing down our bad deeds. You cannot get away with doing bad or doing good, because these angels, that's their job. Their job is to write down what you do, good or bad. And so you're not getting away with anything. Because you did something to your brother or to your sister and you think you got away with it, no, you have not gotten away with it at all. So this is the time to ask for forgiveness, and also those who received the harm, think about it and perhaps forgive that individual or forgive that individual. I want to mention something else to you that was related from one of the Prophet's companions. And he said, the Prophet said, "Beware of suspicion, for suspicion is the worst of false tales. And do not look for the others' faults, and do not spy, and do not be jealous of one another, and do not desert, meaning cut off relation with one another, and do not hate one another. And O Allah worshippers, be brothers. Allah has ordered you. Allah has ordered us as Muslims, as human beings, to be brothers, be caring for one another, that we don't be suspicious of one another, give false tales about one another, do not spy on one another, do not be jealous of one another, do not cut off relations with one another. In Islam, cutting off family relation is not a good thing. It's equivalent to a sin. So we are not to cut off family relations. We as much as possible keep our relationship with our family. I'm Muslim. I have Muslim family members. I don't cut my relations off with them because they're non-Muslim. They are still the Christians, Jews, or wherever they are. They're still my family. We still relate. We still joke. We still do family kind of things. We just have different beliefs. They have their beliefs, and I have my beliefs. To them their way, and to me my way. Lakum dinukum waliya din. To you your way, and to me my way. That's it. I'm not going to practice what you practice, and you're not going to practice what I practice. And that's it. We respect each other. We tolerant of each other, not intolerant of each other. That we always fighting with each other. That's why I said at the beginning of this program, I don't debate with you, or regarding my religion. On my practice, religion I practice, nor am I going to debate with you about what you practice. That's not going to happen, because that's what you chose. That's the faith you chose, and that was your choice. Also, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, said, it is not allowable for a Muslim to keep apart from his brother for more than 3 days. For one who does so and dies will enter hell. This is something that we as Muslims, that we cannot do. That we cannot desert our Muslim brother or our Muslim sister or be angry with them beyond 3 days. After that, we apologize to them. And the one that apologized to the other one first really becomes the better Muslim. Or start the greeting off, and my brother's angry with me. I'm angry with my brother, and then every time I see him or see a sister, I turn my head the other way. I don't want to see them. I don't want to talk to them. I don't even give them salam. Say assalamu alaikum, and peace be upon them, and they return it. Wa alaikum salam, and may peace be upon you. I don't even want that to happen. I don't have anything to do with them. This is wrong. And it can't go beyond 3 days, because as I read, okay, for one who does so, he dies and will enter hellfire. I don't want to go any place near the hellfire, and none of my Muslim brothers or sisters and anyone listening to my voice that are my students, you don't want to do it either. So we are surrounded by tests. I just want for us that we pass all tests put before us. The adversities, the hard tests are in front of Jannah, are in front of paradise. The easy, the ones that look so alluring, those are in front of the hellfire. And so when we get to those adversities, ask help from Allah. And I pray that Allah will help us and guide us and protect us from the hellfire, and that we will pass the test. You have been listening to or attending the Islamic Faith in Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.